T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Popcorn
rip.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, rolling into hour number two. Always good to catch up with our buddy Jacob Albrot from Eyewitness Sports. He'll be here today and tomorrow, Friday. Paul will be here on Wednesday and Thursday as we roll through this week. Shane on assignment for the Missouri Valley Conference Network at the Valley Baseball Tournament up in Normal, Illinois. So he's got a very busy week ahead of him. What's on tap, courtesy of our friends from Side Pockets? Monday, either a BLT or a cheeseburger, both served with fries for $5.95 at Kellogg and Tyler. What's on tap coming up? Or a little baseball. Royals beat the Angels last night. A little buy or sell with some of the early trends in baseball as we get to it. All right, so we obviously both have our own teams. You're a Rangers guy. I'm a Red Sox guy. But we follow because of geographic proximity and the fact that we've followed them from through some really good stories. And as such, you kind of gain an affinity for them, the Royals. They win yesterday to snap a 4-game losing streak, 5-1. Danny Duffy was a little erratic with 3 walks, but 5 hits through 6 innings, won his 3rd straight start to improve to 3-1. And really the headline here may have been, when you consider the Royals, 3 relievers with 3 scoreless innings, Barlow, Diekman, and Kennedy all finish it off. Cam Gallagher ended a 0-for-22 streak, start a series with St. Louis, I think, tomorrow. Then the Yankees come in for 3 over the weekend. But here's the thing for me, Jacob, and I need you to explain this to me. The Royals are 16-31 on a pace currently to finish 55-107. Remember, a year ago they lost 104 times. But Whit Merrifield is hitting 290. Nicky Lopez, 320. Alberto Mondesi is hitting 280. Alex Gordon, 292. Dozier, Hunter Dozier, is hitting 303. What am I missing in this equation?
Pitching.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Starting and relievers.
Yeah, right. And I've listened to you and Shane on them a lot, and I share a brain on them. I don't think that they're as bad as their record would indicate. I mean, you are what your record says you are in a lot of ways. And the run differential is starting to show their deficiencies in a lot of ways too. But what I will say about the Royals is I wasn't totally convinced in the 2020 year that everyone sort of pointed at, and management is, you know, without saying it, sort of alluded to, is 2020 being the year to be back. I thought it might take longer than that. I'm not so sure it's going to take longer than that now. I'm sort of in on it because I think that the lineup is really, really compelling, young, and on the upswing in a lot of spots. And remember, they don't even have Salvi. So this lineup is going to be pretty good. And I like the players that are there, and I'm glad they got Lopez in there. And now we'll see. The pitching isn't close. So what can you do there? But just remember what they did last year in the draft when they took all college pitchers. And right. And all of those guys are doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. So if you can get some of those guys there, you've still got to find more than that. You need, you know, you need some pieces to really come through. Maybe Duffy sort of gets back to somewhat form, and Keller's usable, and okay. I do think they're there next year, and it's one of those weird things where it's like they're actually playing an interesting brand of baseball. They're not winning any games. They're about to pick 2nd in a couple of weeks in the draft. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to do anything like that. So it's sort of that old Astros model. you might as well just lose a ton so you get another high draft pick. It's going to be a lost year anyway. But at least this year, and I didn't feel this way last year, they are fun to watch. I mean, with the speed and the lineup and things like that, one thing, you know, a good lineup like that will do is it'll at least give us an interesting brand of baseball, and I think they do play that. They don't have any pitching. And they're not gonna get any pitching, and they're not going to get certainly anything remotely close to make them competitive. So that overall picture, you know, ask the Astros. You know, they got Carlos Correa because they stunk. They got Alex Bregman because they stunk. Okay, you got to suck it up one more year. I'm more optimistic because I do think they're on that 2020 pace, and I wasn't totally convinced of that 2 years ago or last year.
The thing that concerns me a little bit is the dearth of pitching. It's not just like every team needs more pitching. I mean, very few teams are always glad that they've got what they've got. They're always looking for more. If we believe in Danny Duffy, and we've got a short sample size, but it's promising. If you believe in Keller, who I think has been at least somewhat consistent, the problem is it drops off fairly precipitously from that point as far as their starting pitching is concerned. And their relief core is, well, is more imagined than anything else. So they've got more pieces to put together. Now, their lineup, when you consider Merrifield, Lopez, Mondesi, Gordon, and who's having a resurgent year, I don't know how much I trust it. I don't know how much you trust it, but, I mean, he's doing it. And then you add Dozier, who is a revelation and is having a really good season, not just for the Royals, but league-wide. And then you believe in Soler still. You're talking about six guys there, and we're not even talking about Salvador Perez coming back.
Right.
That's seven guys that is... I dare say, Jacob, that's a pretty representative lineup right there.
Oh, I think it's as good a lineup as the World Series lineups. And I say that knowing there's a lot still to prove. But with trajectories of some of these players, I think you're looking at another situation where you've got a really deep lineup. And the thing is, I do think Dozier is sustainable. No, he's not going to win an MVP, but I think he's got a chance to be a really high-level player. Mm-hmm. I think that Mondesi we all believe in, right? He's unbelievable.
Yes.
And then you think about a guy like Soler. Well, what is Soler? What do you expect out of Soler? Maybe he's the one guy in the lineup that gives you that three true outcome thing where it's all power, strikeouts, walks, whatever. I don't like a bunch of those guys, but it doesn't hurt to have one guy with that kind of power in there that you can mix in around a bunch of other really, really good hitters. We know Merrifield's for real. Lopez is probably Merrifield light in a lot of ways. Maybe he can be that. There's a lot to look forward to in the lineup, and I don't know which of the four college pitchers they took last year right off the top. They're all playing pretty well in the minors, but they're not to the high levels yet. But if they get two of those guys in the rotation and maybe the other two in the bullpen at some point, like they're getting closer. And I don't know what it is, but I do think they're a fun team to watch. And it's a lineup. That is what it is.
Yes.
It can be highly frustrating, but that lineup is fun to watch because they run. They do a lot of those same things. I don't know what, you know, it'll be really curious to see how this all plays itself out. How loyal are they with Ned Yost? You know, 2 years, if they lose 100 games back-to-back years, that's pretty tough. And like all these things that we knew were going to happen anyway. So I don't know. But I do like where it's headed. I think it's headed in the right direction. I think that Dayton Moore is doing things exactly how he needed to, other than missing the chance to trade some guys a little earlier than he did. But hey, they were going for it, and I'm fine with that. And the plan on paper that we're seeing play out looks like it's the right plan.
Got to give Dayton Moore credit.
A ton.
You really do. And it's easy to just kind of bypass. Well, I don't think it's easy for Royals fans to bypass it, and I don't think they do. I think they respect and appreciate the job that he does. He's very comfortable in the economic setting that would be that is challenging and would be a deterrent for so many other general managers in baseball. And yet he seems very comfortable with the grassroots approach to running a ball club. And he does a really good job of it. I mean, look at these guys that essentially he and the and his staff have located and put in the system. Like I said, there's a seven-man lineup here that's really respectable and matches up very nicely with a lot of lineups around Major League Baseball. The problem is, and it's a big one because pitching is everything in Major League Baseball, is you just don't have those guys. But if you believe in the mature arms that they have down the pipeline, they got to get better in a hurry, and I don't know how you accelerate them. I don't know how you put them on the fast track because they've got to mature professionally, even as guys that are coming into professional baseball at the age of 20 or even older after 3 years of Division I, that will be the key moving forward, because if this team can pitch, then all of a sudden this thing looks pretty positive. So that's why I'm bullish on a team that's 16-31. So
yeah, I'm as bullish as you can be on a team that will very likely lose at least 95 games.
Yeah,
it's weird. Early on, it felt like they shouldn't be losing that many games, and maybe they shouldn't have. But some of those things catch up. But if you look at the teams that are in that stratosphere of losing games right now, that let's just even it out and say, you know, that teams that don't have 20 wins yet. You've got the Royals, the Marlins, the Nationals, the Tigers, the Orioles, and the Blue Jays. Probably feel okay if you're the Blue Jays. You probably feel okay if you're the Nationals. You really don't feel any better about any of those teams than the Royals feel.
No, I don't think so.
To me, they're in the best position of those teams because they have the most just sitting there. Mm-hmm. And you can see it. You can feel it. And it's not just – that's the thing with this. And you know, you listen to a lot of writers and read a lot of different things. There are a lot of people that feel this way, that the Royals are not as bad as their record indicates. Or at least there's more optimism there than a lot of these places where you see these kinds of records where it's like, God, I mean, could you imagine being the Marlins right now and watching Yelich and Ozuna? And
no.
Like, I'd want to vomit if I was a Marlins fan.
Oh, my God,
right?
Absolutely.
I don't know that I could. I don't know that I could do it if I was a Marlins fan right now. It's unbelievable to me how they handled their business for 5 or 6 years. You had Stanton and Yelich and Ozuna. Three young, burgeoning superstars to build your franchise around.
Why do you suppose he came in and...
So he could run a baseball team and live in Miami?
Okay, but I mean, right? Okay. But we all, I think, view Derek Jeter as a competitor, a champion wannabe, a fairly good baseball acumen and IQ. I'm familiar with some of what they got in return for those three players in particular, but I don't understand it, especially in Ozuna and Yelich's case, because you're talking about two players that were basically coming into their prime. I mean, Christian Yelich has hit 18 home runs, for God's sakes, and he's the reigning MVP. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what in the world is that just the disease of thinking you're smarter than everybody else in the room?
Why is it that great players typically don't transition into great coaches, great executives
very often? Great question. And I don't know the answer.
Is John Elway a great executive? I'll ask you.
I don't think so. I think he's pedestrian.
Well, and the Peyton Manning thing set that up, but that's just another example of even when it looked like it was all going right, it was probably really all about Peyton Manning. And, okay, like it's just hard. It just doesn't happen very often, and I don't know why that is. Probably because those guys' abilities have not forced them to struggle like a lot of people have to that get into that spot
but
and become highly successful.
But your ability that you've had as a player, I think, can blind you to the ability or lack thereof of others. Because John Elway, and John Elway's a good football guy. I don't think he's subpar. I don't think he's subpar. I don't think he's elite. I think he's a, like a lot of guys in the NFL. He has a fairly good understanding of what a team needs to look like to win. He does have the credibility of a Super Bowl championship. There's no question about that. He's got cachet. But here's his choices at quarterback. Zach Dysart, Brock Osweiler. You've got Paxton Lynch, who it was so good in Seattle after the Broncos let him go that they are bringing in other quarterbacks after having him. I mean, Mario Smith is up there, for God's sakes. I mean, are you kidding me? So here's the and then Case Keenum a year ago. So you're talking about, in by any argument, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL. Maybe not the greatest, but certainly in the discussion is one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. But how's his recognition for quarterback? How is it? What's his track record? I mean, if you believe that your record is what, you know, your record says you are, then what is John Elway as an analyst for quarterbacks? Not very good.
He knew Peyton Manning was good.
Well, gee, that was a tough one. Now he signed him and got him here,
yep,
at a time when he was coming off serious neck injury, and it was at least a roll of the dice, lest we forget.
And he got him there instead of one of other seven other places,
exactly,
that would have loved to have Peyton Manning. So there is some credit to that, but I agree with you, and it's not very often we're seeing John Lynch, a Hall of Fame type player, have success in San Francisco, but mm-hmm, not that much success. I mean, we all think we like the things he's doing. We haven't seen it play out yet,
right?
So I don't know why that is. And Jeter, you know, whatever, the Marlins, that's as bad as it gets. As far as what they just they bring in all this excitement, they bring in these free agents to get a ballpark built. They do that, then they trade all those guys away and get all these other good young players like Ozuna and Yelich in there and all these things. Then they trade them away. Like, at what mm-hmm point do you have any good players?
Well, it's a good question. And why in the world would you buy a ticket to go see the Marlins?
Oh, I wouldn't. I would not. No, no chance.
I mean, maybe if the Dodgers were in town, or, you know, the Yankees or the Red Sox, or fill in the blank. But, you know, you're not going to watch anything that the Marlins do.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. All right. A quick buy or sell. Major League trending. Yankees leading the East. You buying or selling?
I'll buy.
Easily,
I'll buy,
right? Easily.
Yeah.
The fact that they're leading the East with all the injuries that they've had.
The fact that you think about Paxton Lynch coming back to that and Pineda. Like,
yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth? Twins playing 652 ball, second best record in the major league. You buying or selling?
I don't know that they'll have the second best record, but I think they could win the Central.
I think they could too.
I've loved the moves that they've made for 2 years now, and they're paying. And I'm glad they're paying off. Anytime teams that traditionally don't spin go out and get aggressive, I always hope that it works out. And it's working for them, which to me tells me other teams will follow suit, and that's good for all these other franchises and their fan bases.
You know something, I got to be honest, when this pet question was posed to me last night, and I like to think that I know some things about the world of sports and baseball in particular, I could only name three Twins. Polanco, Rosario, Nelson Cruz. Those are the only three that I could come up with from the Minnesota Twins who are playing 652 baseball.
I can give you Gibson.
Yeah, right.
And I know more of their players than this. That's funny, though. It's kind of the same.
I know, but I mean, under pressure and in the moment, those are the only three that I could come up with.
But if you looked, you'd look and say,
of course you would.
Players, because
yes,
they brought in Marwin Gonzalez, Max Kepler.
Mm-hmm.
I knew
exactly.
Yeah,
Kepler's right.
Odorizzi's been really good, which they kind of took a decent mm-hmm gamble on with him. Berrios is a good young player. Yeah. We know. You know more.
But boy, when I had to put
Scope, Buxton, yeah, they've got a bunch of
When I had to put pen to paper, those are the only three that I could come up with. And finally, Cody Bellinger, 409, 16 homers, 42 RBI. You talk about a guy who's on an arc for a triple crown, buying or selling his staying power. Not with the 409, but you know what I'm saying.
No, he's not going to be a 400 hitter. Is he going to be the MVP of the National League? No, he'll
over under 350. Over under 350.
God,
that gives him 59 points of leeway.
No, he's just not this type of player. I'll go under 350.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good bet. 35 home runs. Over under.
Over.
40.
Over.
Wow, 43?
That's tough for a Dodger. That's tough for a Dodger.
That is tough.
40 seems about right.
Okay, I'll go with that.
I believe in his power more than I believe in his average. How about that?
Right. 110 RBI.
That's tough in today's game, too.
I'll take the over.
I'm saying only he's going to hit 40.
They've got so many guys around him that's always on base. That's the thing about him.
So many guys around him that other also, you know, get runs in.
Yeah, Dodgers are a good team, no question about it.
Yes, they are.
All right, moving forward, Kareem Hunt is baptized. John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens were there to witness the whole thing. Looking forward to his rebirth, and I mean that literally and without sarcasm. We'll talk about that a little bit, maybe with a little sarcasm, who knows, as we continue here in just a moment. Jacob Albrecht, yours truly, Sports Daily on a Monday.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce and Shane on KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.